Good morning, everyone. Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome to everyone who's here this morning, especially to our visitors. We're very glad to have you with us this morning. I'd like to talk on contentment a little bit for a devotional. In 1976, a typical supermarket stocked about 9,000 things. Now, a typical supermarket stocks between 30 and 50,000 things. So that's some massive growth. And it's not just because there's more people shopping there. It's because people have become more discerning. And so you can't just have one kind of tomato. You have to have, you know, a whole bunch of different kinds of tomatoes. You can't have just one kind of soup. You have to have a whole bunch of different kinds and a whole bunch of different brands and a whole bunch of different slight variations. So many of these extra items that have been added aren't absolutely essential, but because as people have had more money to spend, they've wanted to spend it on maybe more specific things, become less contented with just simple things. I read a story about a man who lived back in the 5th century, and he decided that he wanted to. I don't know if he wanted to be a hermit or not, but he wanted to live very simply anyway. And so he lived in Egypt. And so he went away. Much of the time he lived kind of out in the desert or on the edge of the desert and lived very simply. But occasionally he would come back into Alexandria and walk through the market. And the market was huge, and there were all these stalls, vendors selling all these different items. And he would go back through and just look at everything, and he had a huge smile on his face as he would go through and look at things. And so some of these people that you know were interested in him, you know, in some of his teachings, said, "Well, why, you know, if you're trying to get away from everything, why do you keep coming back and smiling at everything in the market?" And he said, "Well, it just gives me so much joy to come back and see all the stuff that I don't need." And so that might be a good attitude for me to have. When I am bombarded with all this stuff that I need to have, there's all these things out there that there's a good reason why I need to have this, right? And typically it's because I see that somebody else has it, and so I think, oh, you know, I didn't realize before that I needed it, but now I know. And so maybe there's some peer pressure that comes in with this inadvertently as well. I think contentment is also helpful for more than just physical things. I think it's for any less than ideal situation. It's not that you don't try to better your surroundings. That's complacency. That's just saying, I don't care, it doesn't matter. That's not the same thing as contentment. Contentment is having a settledness, even in situations that might be less than ideal. And that, I think, is an attitude that comes from God. I think there's also such a thing as spiritual contentment, which is living in the knowledge and power that God is working. Even if right now I'm not feeling it, I can be contented in the knowledge that God is powerful and God works in spite of how I feel. And the Bible has a lot to say about contentment, both directly and indirectly. And it seems to be, and this might be too much of a generalization, so I'm okay with this if you disagree with me and correct me afterwards, but it seems to be, it can be kind of distilled into this, that be content with what you have, but not with what you are. There's always room to better ourselves and to draw closer to and more like God. We find contentment in Christ, but nothing else. And it seems clear in the Bible that connection to God is contentment. In Proverbs 15, we read this in our Sunday school lesson here a while back. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And here it's the fear of the God that's the key, not the amounts of things we have. Connection to God is connection to fulfillment. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And again, connection to God. Says that's the key. And as we have that connection to God, I think it helps us maybe to live for the important things in life. And maybe that helps with contentment. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 8. You can turn here if you like. 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 8. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So whether it's physical, whether it's political, whether it's emotional, anything that lifts myself up is pride. And pride, of course, works directly against contentment. And when we have this connection to God that brings contentment, there's a spiritual bounty that he gives us. In Psalm 116, verse 7, it says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." And I like how it says, "Return to thy rest." It doesn't say, okay, now you're going to have to go find rest. It says, "Return to it." And I think that rest was left behind in the discontentment that led to the first sin there in the Garden of Eden. But it says, the Lord dealt bountifully with thee, and God's giving us a chance now to get back to that rest. In Psalm 17:15, it says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Deep contentment found in the Lord. I think it's clear here that contentment follows righteousness. Am I constantly needing to buy new things? Am I never satisfied? The place to start might be with my spiritual life, because contentment follows righteousness. And the Bible has some practical instances of contentment as well. I'm just going to read one where John the Baptist was talking to the soldiers there in Luke chapter 3, verse 14. The soldiers demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man." That's kind of interesting, telling this to a soldier. That's kind of, part of the job description, isn't it? "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." There's another interesting story I read about the idea of what is enough in a wage, and there was a movie that was being made, and it was in English, but the setting was in Africa, and the idea at some point through this movie was that there was going to be a messenger who was going to come panting up to somebody. He had run for days, and he was going to gasp out this sentence in Swahili. Well, of course, nobody knew Swahili, so it didn't matter what the sentence was. So the movie producers found an Englishman who spoke Swahili, and they said, can you just draft a dramatic-sounding sentence for us? And he said, "Sure, I can do that." So this went on. It was great, great, great fun, I guess. And then they showed it in Nairobi, where there was plenty of people that spoke Swahili, and it came to this moment of high drama, and everybody burst into laughter, which was, that was not what was supposed to be happening here. This was supposed to be a moment of high drama. Well, it's because what the messenger actually said as he threw himself exhausted before the chief was, "I do not think I'm getting paid enough money for this part." So there's a lot of places our money can go, and it's important that we use it wisely. Don't base your wish list and purchases off of what someone else has. Benjamin Franklin is credited with saying, "Content makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor." And contentment is also a mindset. In Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul is saying, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, when Paul was talking about wanting, he was talking about a real physical poverty. And he was familiar with that. As an itinerant missionary, he knew what it was to be in want, to actually have difficulty, poverty. But he's saying that's a reality, and it's something that we might face. Sometimes poverty is also a mindset, especially I think in our culture, where there's people that are super rich you know, if I only have serviceable cars and not a Lamborghini or a Tesla, you know, I don't have enough. So, you know, some of this might be relative. So I think that poverty can be a mindset as well. But I don't think that here Paul is downgrading the reality of true poverty, but he's emphasizing the power of contentment. So contentment, I think, is always a mindset, regardless of what the reality is. But contentment is refreshing. In Isaiah 28, verse 12, it says, "To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Laying myself down, while that's conflicting, can bring contentment." Matthew 11, verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Submission to God brings rest and contentment. We'll never be satisfied if we use our personal satisfaction or our personal feeling of I've achieved as the mark. We'll never be satisfied and we'll never be content. It's only through submission to God that we can find rest and contentment. And Jesus gives physical and spiritual contentment. He brings rest, he brings satisfaction, he brings refreshment. So in conclusion, I'd like to read just a couple verses here. And first one is in John. Jesus is talking about this contentment that he brings. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And then in Revelation, it references back to that. It says in Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So contentment is for more than just for physical things. It's for any less than ideal situation. So we should strive to live in what will be a God-given spirit. I don't think that we can assume this on ourselves. I think we have to look to God for contentment, for that spirit of settledness in spite of our surroundings. Spiritual contentment is living in the knowledge and power, in the knowledge of the power and working of God in spite of how I feel. And contentment follows righteousness. And when I have God-given contentment, he helps me to see not everything I want, but everything that I have.